Readings. I have chosen for the occasion an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading. The Old Testament lesson comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. You can find that in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. It's page 857. These the words of the prophet Ezekiel, speaking to the people of Israel, who have lost all hope of ever reclaiming a land or a king of their own. They are in the midst of their exile from their own land. And Ezekiel speaks these words as he was told to prophesy them. Hear now the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon me, writes Ezekiel, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied, just as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them that this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. And when I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle in you, in your land, in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and that I have done it, declares the Lord. And then from the final book of the Bible, another prophecy in which John was on the island of Patmos. He received a vision from the Lord, a vision of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father. This is the account of when John saw him. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Friends, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, Ezekiel and Revelation, The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that the very reading of your word from these holy scriptures have already spoken to your people. I pray, Lord, that they don't even need to hear a word from my mouth. I pray, Lord, that they would understand fully you and the risen Lord, your Son. Yet, Lord, you have called me. You have called me and you have placed me before these people to speak your word. And so, Lord, I humbly ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing unto you. We pray this in Jesus' name, for he is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. Again, thanks for being here. I'm glad there's so many people here because I am so excited to tell you about what I'm about to tell you. And the more people that hear this, the happier it makes me. Are you ready? All right. The Chicago White Sox. The Washington Nationals. The New York Mets. The Milwaukee Brewers. And my very own beloved Pittsburgh Pirates. All five of these teams have something in common. And the truest baseball fan, the truest fan of America's pastime will know exactly what I'm talking about. Raise your hand if you know what these five teams in this very point of time have in common. Ron, they're undefeated! The Pirates are undefeated! They're in first place! Granted, they've only played one game. And they barely won that, suffice to say. And quite frankly, they really lost the game, and instant replay saved it for them. But they are in this very moment of time, at 11:43 on April 1st, no joke, the Pirates are undefeated. I can also say with you for certainty that this will not last long. In fact, by the time we get to the end of the day and they play their split doubleheader, a game at 1 and a game at 6, probably not going to be undefeated. And even if they make it through today and go 3-0, as is the Brewers, I'll guarantee you that none of these teams who are currently undefeated will make it through 162 games undefeated. I guarantee you this will not happen. Granted, the Windians had a wonderful streak last year. Any Indians fans here? 22? Was it 22 last year? 22? An all-time record? Never done before? A great run, but a far cry from a 162-game winning streak. The reason is because the more these teams win, the more their opponents work hard to beat them. They will meet their match. They will lose. These teams all will be defeated. And I tell you this not because it's just a game of baseball, because also, that's just the way life is. Just when you think you're on a bit of a win streak, just when you think you're undefeated, some sort of life circumstance will come and seek to beat you down, to defeat you. This is the reality of life, friends. In one moment, we are up and we're on top of the world, praising God with all of our life with all the breath in our lungs, and then soon, out of nowhere, we are beat down and we are defeated. You know how I know that? Not just because I have personally experienced this in my life, but it's also the story found throughout scriptures that humanity is in this struggle between winning and losing, constantly being defeated one way or the other. I mean, Adam and Eve had a whole streak of maybe one day of good living until they got deceived, sold a bag of goods, and got cast out of the garden because of their disobedience and the deceit of the serpent. And isn't that why we come here today? Because we've all been defeated before, yet there is hope that life doesn't end in defeat. Life doesn't end in a grave of eternal darkness. I hope that's why you're here. And I pray that in hearing this message, you hear that good news. That the reason I stand here before you to preach this gospel, this story found in scriptures, is that the story doesn't end with defeat. But that doesn't change the reality of the world we live in, does it? It didn't change the reality for Adam and Eve who were deceived by the serpent. And it didn't change at all for the people of Israel that God called out of nowhere to be His people, His chosen race. And you see, we truly understand the resurrection. We truly understand that life doesn't end in defeat when we understand the resurrection along the course of humanity. We understand what comes before the resurrection. That's what makes this good news. And that from the days of Adam through the people of Israel all the way to Jesus' death, we can relate. Nothing's changed, folks. The same things that deceived and defeated Adam and Eve and the people of Israel are the same things at work in our lives today that are seeking to defeat us and our faith in Jesus. Let me illustrate it for you. There's the timeline right there on the screen above. It starts with Adam and Eve. They were deceived. Deceived by the serpent. Anyone ever been deceived or lied to and as a result felt defeated? Still happens today. It's not just a story that happened a long time ago. This stuff happens today and every day. And how about Moses and the people of Israel stuck in Egypt, desperate to be released and liberated from being enslaved? Somebody who pressed upon them like an overzealous boss forcing you to work more than you have to. Anyone have to go to work today? Anyone have to fly out today to go to work to tomorrow? Right? Or whatever it is, whatever desperation that there is, we've all experienced it. And then Isaiah. Isaiah was the prophet who cried out after the people of Israel, after their very own disobedience. God gave them land, plenty with milk and honey. Honey, not hunty, honey. And they cried out on the banks of the river in Babylon, saying, "Oh, we messed up. We've been so disobedient. We sought our own way instead of God's way." And as a result, they were stripped of their land and their nation. Anybody ever feel defeated because of your own disobedience? Because you sought your way instead of God's way? See, it happens all the way through the story. And Joseph, you know what happened to Joseph? Joseph was a son of Joseph, or the son of Jacob, the son of Israel. There were 12 sons, and Joseph was favored. And his brothers, all 11 of them, stood against him, cast him out, threw him in a pit. And there was division among the brothers. Anybody ever feel defeated because of division within your family? A brother or sister, a parent, someone who you don't get along with. Is there division in your household? Your place of employment? You see all of these things. Deceit, division, disobedience, desperation. They're always pressing in upon us to knock us down and to defeat us, even to the point of death. And that leads us, friends, to Calvary, that place where Jesus hung on a cross and died. You know, Jesus had quite a following of people. People who saw something in him that they hadn't seen in anyone else ever before. The guy could make the lame walk and make the blind see. He could walk on water and calm storms. He was the hope of Israel. He was to be their new king. He was going to rise them up and make them a land and a nation that would last forever. God's chosen people right on earth with Jesus as their king. And then it all came to a crashing halt when they nailed him to a cross and yelled out, "Crucify him." And all who followed him, and all who felt they were on that ultimate winning streak of life, it was lost. Jesus died and was put in the grave. And finally, once again, defeated. This is the way of life, folks. We live, we try to get ahead in life, and then we get knocked down and defeated. And it seems quite meaningless when you put it all together that life just ends in a dark grave, despite our best attempts at winning. Death, we've all experienced the sting of death. I look back on these flowers here today behind me, and I look at the names of people on this insert, and I'm reminded of this sting of death. Those who've gone before us, who we've loved, and who love the Lord. And then I look out on all of you, and you know what I see? I see a bunch of tulips and daffodils and white lilies and that other flower I can't say, hyacinth. And after the laughter's gone, you know what? That's going to be us someday. Someone who loves us, if we're lucky, will buy a flower and put it in the sanctuary on Easter. Because death is the destiny of all of us. Death will defeat us. You can't escape it. The course of humanity. And that, friends, is it. That's all I have for you today. That's the sermon. But there's more to the story, isn't there? We don't end with death. That in Christ, through our faith in Christ, we're not defeated by all these things on earth that seek to defeat us. That despite being deceived by the serpent and by one another and by the lies the world provides for us, when we follow and have faith in Christ, we live not by lies, but by truth. In Christ, we have truth. And what about division? In Christ, through our faith in Him, all that seeks to divide us in this world, we ultimately find reconciliation and unity through a common faith in Jesus. And what about desperation? People who just can't seem to find a path forward in life where there's no hope whatsoever. We're so desperate to see just a glimmer of hope in life, and it's not there. But in Christ, through our faith in Him, we have what? hope that glorious days are coming? And what about those of us who've been defeated by our own disobedience? Guess what? Through our faith in Christ, we are forgiven. You are loved by God despite your disobedience. And despite your insistence on living life your own way. Through faith in Christ, you are forgiven. And what about dominion? About people who have dominion over us, authority over us, and use it to arise them to greater power and diminish us even more, whether it's a wayward, zealous boss or a world tyrant or government that seeks to oppress and enslave people. There's no dominion on earth, no power, no throne, no principality that will ever be able to hold the believers in Jesus Christ captive, because in Him we have a King. And we live in a kingdom that will live forever. We're not defeated by deceit. We're not defeated by division, by disobedience. We're not defeated by dominion. And what about death? That sting of death that we all experience. And the grave we all soon face at some point. It doesn't defeat us, because in Christ we rise from the dead. That's why we're here today, amen? Because in Christ, we are undefeated. We are undefeated. Nothing can defeat us. That's what I'm excited to tell you about today. And may you walk out of this place today knowing that in Christ, in your faith in Him, nothing will defeat you in this world. You are undefeated. Let us stand and praise His glorious name, because up from the grave He rose and gives us victory over all.